Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody again the first Sunday of 2026. Yeah, how many of you thought you would ever make it to 2026? Probably a lot of us didn't, right? And probably some of us even said, well, if I knew I was going to live this long, I took better care of myself during the past. But yeah, you made it. One of the things I really want to share this morning, I think, is about purpose. How many of you know what your purpose is? One said they do. Okay. So we got a need to talk about purpose this morning, don't we? You know, we really need to know what our purpose is in life, you know. And I could also say, too, that I'm 54 and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So that, you know, helps everybody understand that, you know, we don't all really know what our purpose is exactly in each moment, right? For us, you know, maybe our job or whatever, but I really think we should know what our purpose is in the church, right? We should know what our purpose is and the things that we should be doing. And, you know, some of you may know or may not know what your purpose is, but, you know, we see it, a lot of us see what your purpose is and know what those are. You know, some people are such givers and they're so welcoming. You know, that's a purpose. The people that stand at the door, the people that love on you, that, you know, that speak to you when you come in the door, that's a purpose. There's a purpose for that. You know, everybody needs it. But, you know, we all have so many different purposes. But I found a lot of things that I really just want to read to you this morning. How many of you have ever heard of the Bible Hub? Couple, three. That's a really great resource. And you can go online and you can look it up. Just type in Bible Hub. And if there's any word, any scripture, anything that you want to know about, you can type that in there and it pops up and it gives you just a great list of information. And that's kind of what part of this come from this morning. I just really want to share with you what it says about purpose. But, you know, how many of you have a to-do list? I know a few do. My wife is about a to-do list, let me tell you. Me, not so much. We kind of fly by the seat of our pants most of the time. But, you know, you got that list, and you need to accomplish everything that's on it each day, each week, each month, you know, just all the time. You're worried about what's going on that list, right? But, and sometimes those lists bring purpose to us, right? They give us a purpose. They give us a place to point at and to a direction to go to. But it keeps us focused, right? And gives us a target. But if we could reduce our entire lives to a short list of only three or four items, what would they be? That's something to think about. What would be your key focus? You know, and I could think of a few that would hit the short list for sure. But the top item on your list would really come very close to identifying the purpose of your life, wouldn't it? You know, how many of you have heard the saying that, well, if you'll let me look at your checkbook, I'll tell you where your focus is at, where you spend your money is where your focus is at. You know, those kind of things, how you operate. But so here's some information that comes from the Bible Hub. It says the definition and the general overview of purpose. It says, in the context of the Bible, purpose refers to the intention or objective behind God's actions in the lives of individuals. It is the divine plan that God has for creation and humanity, as well as the personal calling and mission that each believer is encouraged to pursue. The concept of purpose is deeply rooted in the understanding that God is sovereign and has a specific plan for the world and each person within it. Punch your neighbor and say, God's got a purpose for you. How many of you knew that God has a purpose for you specifically? Okay. Now the next question is how many of you know what that purpose is? We got three or four or five, six. Okay. That's nice. You know, and it's always encouraging when you got people that know what their purpose is and what God's called for them to do. You know, He just called for all of us to to seek Him to start with, to know Him, to love Him, and to worship Him. You know, that's keys. You know, and beyond that, God will begin to show those things to you the closer you get to Him. The closer the relationship you have with Him, He'll begin to share with you what He's called you to do, the places He wants you to be. You know, and we're called to be a light no matter where we go, right? You know, like the scripture says, do you light a candle, more or less, do you light a candle when you stick it under a basket and hide it? Oh, what do we got these for? So we can see, right? And that's what God's called us to be, as light, so people can see Him. So we reflect God's image, you know, because He is the light of the world, right? And that's what we should be. But we all got a purpose. And God designed this whole world for a purpose and designed us for a purpose in it. You know, how many of you have asked the question, Lord, what in the world am I doing? What purpose do you have for me? Because I can't see anything. Right? We've all been there. We've all been that point in that place in life. But this kind of goes into some other things, the biblical foundation of what purpose is. And God's sovereign purpose is the first point in it. It says the Bible affirms that God has a sovereign purpose for all of creation. And I put in some scriptures there this morning, but they're not going to read exactly what I'm reading here. It's a little different translation. That translation was not in our software back there, so you just have to roll with me or read it and go on and enjoy it. But it says God's sovereign purpose is, the Bible affirms that God has a sovereign purpose for all of creation. And in Isaiah 46 and 10, God declares, I declare the end from the beginning and the ancient times from what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and all my good pleasure I will accomplish. This verse highlights God's ultimate control and the certainty that His purposes will be fulfilled. You know, God has a plan. and you know, one of those key things about God's plan is He don't tell it all to us. That stinks, don't it? How many of you like to know what all the plans are? You know, I know I like me and Bobby and some of us in construction. What do you work off of? You work off plans. But do you work off the oldest set or the newest set? You work off the latest and the greatest, right? And what had they better have across the bottom of them? For construction. Because if they don't have for construction on them, you can get yourself in trouble. But God has a purpose and He's got a plan. And that's part of it is His sovereign plan. He set this in motion, right? You know, if you were here Wednesday night, what was the first verse that I read? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? He created all this. Now, He didn't create the sin that's within us and that we were all born with, but He created this earth and He had a plan, but He also set in motion the plan to take care of that sin as it come. The second one is the purpose in creation. The purpose of creation is to glorify God. Colossians 1 and verse 16 states that, for in Him all things were created. Excuse me. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. We were created to worship Him. You know, and I think that's something that we've, as the church and, you know, as a whole, has kind of got away from, is understanding that we're created to worship God. What happens when we worship God? Things change in us, right? Things break in us. He repairs things. You know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy having to be a part of worship. Like Wednesday night was great. We got to worship. And God moved and He done things in our midst. But we got to understand that there's a purpose in creation, and that's to worship Him and to show Him. And it goes on to say that this underscores that everything exists to serve God's purposes and to bring Him glory. You know, you were born for a purpose. Two amens. Okay. You were born for a purpose. Okay, that's a little better. All right. And one of those next purposes is the purpose in redemption. God's redemption purpose is central to the biblical narrative. Ephesians 1, verse 9 through 10 reveals that as he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ. You know, this passage emphasizes that God's purpose in redemption is to unite all things under Christ. You know, he sent his only begotten Son here to die on a cross for whosoever, right? How many of you fit in that category? We all do, right? Whosoever. You're all whosoever. If you got life and you got breath, you still have an opportunity. And then there's the individual purpose in it too. It says each person has a unique purpose within God's overarching plan. How many of you remember Jeremiah 29:11? Right? God has a purpose. He has a plan for us. And it says that, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. You know, he was talking about the children of Israel, but we can fall under that blanket as well, right? He was talking about them. And he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. How many of you feel like you've been harmed at some point in time? We can all fall in that category too. But, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I'll just get saved and everything's going to be wonderful and rosy from there on out. And you don't have to have any more battles. You don't have to have any more struggles. Because that's a lie, right? It's not the truth. God told us that he would go with us through those struggles, through those trials, through those problems. Said he would always be there. He would never leave us and never forsake us, right? So he knows those plans that he has for us. And you know, when I think about the purpose and the plan, I think about Joseph, right? What was Joseph's dream? That his father and his mother and his brothers would all bow down to him, right? And when he was thrown into the pit, did his purpose look real bright at that moment? When he was sold to Potiphar as a slave, did his purpose look real bright at that moment? Y'all get where I'm going? You following with me? When he got thrown into prison, did his purpose look like it was going to be fulfilled? No. And maybe some of y'all are going through a battle right now that seems like the battle to end all battles. That you can't come out of this alive. But know that God has a purpose and he has a plan for you. And that he's going to fulfill that purpose and that plan. You just need to follow him and stay close to him and understand that he does have that for us. He knows the plans that he has for us. He says to give you a future and a hope. You know, and of course this verse reassures us as believers that God has a specific and a benevolent purpose for our lives. He's got a purpose for you. And then that kind of leads into this next scripture, which is a purpose in suffering. You know, there again, nobody likes to suffer, right? Nobody likes to have problems and struggles. But the Bible also addresses the purpose of suffering in a believer's life. In Romans 8:28, it says, which it provides comfort and perspective, it says, and we know that God works all. You catch that one? What's that word? Again? All, right? Does that mean part of them? Does that mean some of them? What does it mean? All of them, right? And that's the mindset that we got to get, that God is taking care of all things, right? That says that, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, it reassures us as believers that even in trials, God's purpose is being worked out for the ultimate good. You know, sometimes we're like, well, I really wish he didn't think so much of me. Right? How many of you have ever thought of that one? Lord, I really wish you didn't think so much of me that I could make it through this trial. But he does. He knows us. He knows what his plan for us is. And this kind of goes in the next part of this, and it talks about practical implications of it, is living with purpose. And that's kind of where I wanted to get to today is, you know, we all got to live with a purpose, right? We got to know what that purpose is. And again, that purpose is to worship the Lord, to seek Him and to follow Him. And living with a purpose, believers are called to live purposefully, aligning their lives with God's will. Ephesians 2 and 10 encourages this mindset. It says, "For we are God's workmanship." You know that? You're God's workmanship. He created you. He allowed you to be created. He still allows you to catch that breath every time you breathe. He allows you to take the steps that you step. He allows you to do what you do. But it says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. This suggests that living with purpose involves engaging in good works that reflects God's character and intentions. You know, we got to live with a purpose. And, you know, I think that's something that we got to focus on, is to live with a purpose. You know, like I say, too many times I think we fly by the seat of our pants just to get to where we think we're going and do the best that we can while we're there. But when we go at it with a purpose and with an intention, you know, I never started a job with the intention of just hoping it got done. Right? That when the company hires you, they don't hire you hoping that you have intentions that you might get the job done. Right? At least in construction, they don't. They expect it to get built. And if you go into the glass industry, you got from this date to be done and it to be running, or your company starts getting massive fines, and therefore you won't have a job if you don't do what you got to do. And I'm talking about very tight timelines. But we got to start living with a purpose, and that purpose has got to be to magnify the Lord. We got to be walking. We got to be lifting Him up. We got to be speaking. And we got to be encouraging, but we also got to be in correction. We don't like that one, do we? But it's the truth. You know, I don't like to correct no more than I have to deal with it. I mean, it's just part of it, but we got to do. But the second part of that is seeking God's purpose. Understanding and seeking God's purpose is a lifelong journey. It's a continual process, right? You got to know what the purpose is so you can make it through the process. It's a continual journey. You know, and this is one of my favorite verses in Scripture that I've stood on for a lot of years. But Proverbs 19:21, and the way that it says here is many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord will prevail. You know, I've believed that verse for a long time. I left here in July of 1989 with intentions of not being back in Hornwall. I was 18 years old and just knew that I didn't want to. Well, actually, I was 17 when I went into the Air Force. And my intentions was to go see the world and to not come back to Hornwall, because there really wasn't a whole lot to hear at that time for his jobs or anything else. But I left. And I can look back now and see the plans that I had. And I preached this message several times. Plans to, like I said, to leave and to go away and to do things. Only plan I had was to take that beautiful young lady back here on the back corner with me. That was the only plan that I had at that time. But I left. And, you know, and as I've said before, my original orders were Tucson, Arizona. How many of you know you can't drive home on the weekend from Tucson, Arizona? So in the Air Force, they had you could swap orders with somebody that was coming out of tech school within a certain amount of weeks. You could swap orders with them if they agreed, and if everybody that needed to sign off on it agreed. And I found a guy that was going to Barksdale which is 500 miles. I could make that in a weekend. And I did a lot of times when I probably shouldn't have. So that was my plan, right? My plan was to switch my orders to go to Barksdale so I could make it home sometimes on the weekend. But while I was there, we met some folks that really redirected our purpose. Come in contact with some, made some friends, some great friends, some people that really influenced us after that point. We got back in church, and that's where it changed. God, you know, we were both, her obviously raised in church, but I was too. Knew right from wrong, knew what the things that I did or was doing at the time was as far from God's plan as what he had. I had no idea that this was God's plan at that time, of course. I might still be running, but let's be truthful. But God put us in a place to some people that would help us grow, that changed our projection, our trajectory of the way that we were headed. And it made a difference to where we now know what our purpose is. But I really stand upon that. You know, and so many things. Like I said, I'm 54 and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. But I've done a lot of things I didn't want to do because it had to be done. You know, things happen. You know, job changes, different things happen. Things that I didn't want to happen, but they did. But we rolled with them and went on. And the key to that all today is knowing that I know what the purpose is, and that is to be following God and to be seeking him. I know that he's the key to it all. And if you don't have him today, then please, before you leave this place, correct that. Fix that. And it's up to you. It's all an individual decision that has to be made. And no decision is a decision. Trust me. But he wants to encourage us to seek God's guidance and align with his personal, or with, you know, align your personal ambitions to his divine purpose. We got to know what our purpose is, but we know what his purpose is, and that is for all to come to repentance. Not just some or part, or not just worried about you're four and no more. And then the third part of it is there's a purpose in community. The church, as the body of Christ, has a collective purpose. And that's kind of where I wanted to go today also, is that as a collective body, we have a purpose. This church has a purpose. And I'll get into that more in just a minute. 1 Peter 2 and 9 describes this communal calling, but you are a chosen people. Did you know that? You're chosen. You're called out. You're special. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. The church is called to be a witness to God's purpose. And the conclusion of all this, that like I say, I'm just kind of adding to a little bit as we go, but this is the conclusion of what the Bible Hub said about it. It says the concept of purpose in the Bible is multifaceted, encompassing God's sovereign plan for creation, for redemption, and individual lives. It calls believers to live intentionally, to seek God's will, and to participate in his redemptive work in the world. And also part of it, throwed along in here with it, is Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary meaning of purpose. The first one is that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. The end or aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion. View, aim, design, intentions, or plan. And one of the other ones is to propose as an aim, to oneself to determine upon, and some as some end or object to be accomplished, to intend, to design, to resolve, often followed by an infinitive or dependent clause. So, again, the questions I have this morning for us, how many of you know what your purpose is in the church? If you don't, ask somebody, what do you think my purpose is? Ask us, and we'll be glad to give you some direction and show you what you're already doing. Right? Some of you just love on people, and you do a great job of it. There's a purpose for that. There's a need for that. Some of you just serve people so much. Anytime we ask for anything, I can tell you two or three names that will be automatic. Service is a purpose. Some of you are called to be teachers. Some of you are called to be preachers. You going to listen to your purpose? Are you going to heed the call? Because life's miserable until you do. Trust me. It's hard. It's hard to run from God. Because it don't matter where you go, He's going to put somebody in your place, in the position next to you to say, hey, ain't God good? He'll deal with you. He'll deal with you. But the bad thing about it is if you don't answer Him, sooner or later He might say, okay. It's the same way with receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Besides for the church, how many of you know what your purpose is in the kingdom of God? You know what you're called to do, what you're called to be, where you're called to do it. And one of the last questions, and I got quite a few scriptures with this, but is, how do I find my true purpose in life? Anybody know how you find your true purpose in life? Prayer is a key to it, but we got to know Him. If you don't know Him, you're not going to know what your purpose is. If you don't have a real personal relationship with the Father, then you're not going to know what your purpose is. You're not going to walk in your purpose. At least you're not going to walk fully in it. You know, I see a lot of times people that are walking in their call when they're not even really walking for God, but they understand what their call is. They understand what they're supposed to do. Servants serve people, right? Whether or not, you know, and we see it in our community, right? We got a community that is one of the most giving communities that I've ever been around. People give. They give their time, they give their money, they give their efforts, but they still don't walk for God, right? We got to know what our purpose is. You know, one of the questions in Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes came to Jesus. I'm not going to go there and read that this morning, but he came to Jesus and he was asking Him more or less what the greatest commandments were, and what did Jesus tell him? First commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, right? And He said the second's like it, to love your neighbor just the same. If we want to know what our purpose is, there's a really great start. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Completely love Him. But then we got to love our neighbor just the same. Well, that's hard. Yeah. Jesus loves you and forgave you, and He even knows who you are. Try that one on for size. Ecclesiastes verse 12 and 13 says, here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. You know, purpose in life comes from obeying God and doing His will. You know, and that's what we got to do. It's all found in the Word. And His will is for us purposefully, I mean, personally as well as collectively. He's got a will for this church. He's got a plan for us, a desire that He wants us to fulfill. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, be thankful in, there's that little three-letter word again. Oh, it ain't on that one, but it is in this one. In all circumstances, right? Or as that says, in everything. Give thanks, right? Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, when we set out to discover God, His will for our lives, we got to get focused. We got to seek Him. One of the other ones is Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is the true way of worship. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, He's caused us to be a new creation, right? And just because that's the way we know it, we know things in life, don't mean that's the way that God's called it to be, right? He's called us to be holy. He's called us to be righteous. And to walk by the ways of the world is not being righteous. It's not being holy. It's not living in God's kingdom in the ways. It's not being a new creation. And that's one of the things that we got to do to know our purposes is we got to know who God is and we got to know what His Word says. We got to know how we got to walk. And we can't find that out if we don't get in this Word and stay in it and feast upon what it has to say, how it leads us, how it directs us. I'm going to wrap this up if y'all want to come on. But Philippians 1, verse 20 and 20 through 22 says, I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. You know, when we completely commit our lives to God's purpose and to the fulfilling of His purpose for our lives, He promises that our lives will be fruitful. Right? We'll be able to make it. We'll be able to do the things that He's called us to do. And like I say, the things that God's called us to do is to be fruitful. He's called us for a purpose. Central Christian Fellowship received the word many years ago that this church would be a place for the broken, for the lost, for those that feel like they have no place to go, and for the prodigals. How many of us have fit one of those categories at some point in time or another in life? We can all be there, right? So understand that's what we've been called to do, is to minister to all those people. And, you know, not just, the word that was given to us was that we'd be like an ER. And that hurts some too, right? You know, do you go in the ER to stay?
No.
And we would love to to keep everybody, but we want to get you fixed and we want to get you on the road and repair. We want to see people restored, right? How many of you know broken people that have made terrible decisions in their life and they feel like there's no way that they can come back to God, much less come back to a church, because people look down at them like, yeah, what are you doing here? You're less than. Well, God died for all of us. And just because somebody feels like they're less than don't mean that they are. Like I said, He's called all of us to repentance. All means all. And He's called us to love them. You know, who did Jesus say He come to minister to? He didn't come to minister to the well. He come to the sick, those that are hurting, those that are broken. and he ministered to them. That's what we're called to do. We have that purpose this year, to pray more, to seek him more, to love him more, to worship him more, and to grow as a church and as a community. And we'll begin to see strongholds broken down. You know, we've already set things in motion around this community in the past couple years. We've staked out our community with stakes on every major entrance into this community and told Satan that he has no place here. He has no ownership. And that's the thing that the Lord gave us, was to arm, to enlist, to arm and occupy. When we enlist people in the kingdom of God, we're going to arm them with his word to know how to occupy their land, to walk through it. And that's what he told the children of Israel when they went into the promised land. He said, go and take it over. Live there with a purpose. And his purpose was to get rid of everything that's unlike him. And that's our purpose, is to live for him and to get rid of everything in here that's unlike him. Are we going to follow that purpose, or are we just going to continue on with our willy-nilly life the way we've been doing? We'll see. And I'll shut up, but hold on just a second. Sister Teresa brought an interesting point to me a while ago, talking about prayer. This month of prayer and fasting, when you come in, if you come from 6 to 7, you don't have to worry about getting up here and praying out loud in front of everybody. You can go find you a seat. You can walk around. There'll be prayer boards stationed around different places. You can go to those prayer boards. You can look at them. You can pray. You can do whatever you want to. If you can pray out loud, you can sit in there and cry. You can do whatever you want to. We're not going to make you do anything. But come and corporately be a part of this prayer. Come and seek the Lord, and let's see what God wants to do. He's called us for a purpose. He's called us for a reason. Let's walk in that purpose, and let's see what God's called us to do. Y'all stand, and let's worship for just a moment. If you hadn't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you backed away, or something ain't just exactly where it needs to be, and you know it because he's convicting you, these altars are open. Come. If you need prayer today, come, and let's pray. We'll pray for you.